Doing Daf Chaf Beis Masechet Seirchin. We are at the top of Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We learned last time on Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, starting the beginning of the sixth parak with the Mishnah, where the Mishnah told us that Yishuma Yisomim is for 30 days, that you spend 30 days trying to get as much money as you can when you sell properties that belong to Yisomim. When it comes to Hegdish, you spend 60 days trying to get money, trying to get as much money as you can when you have to sell properties of Hegdish. So it says in our Tanur Rabban, Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom, Shuma Hegdish, Shishim Yom, Div Rameir. Rameir says exactly like our Mishnah. For Yisomim, you spend 30 days trying to get as much money as you can. For Hegdish, you spend 60 days trying to get as much money as you can. Obviously, the more time you spend trying to find buyers and trying to market the property, the better your chances are of getting a good price. When people sell a house, if they have 2 weeks till they need to get out and they need to sell it, they're obviously going to get a lot less money than someone who has an indefinite period of time where they can market it properly and they can show it off properly and they can highlight all of its value. So that's why when we're selling property of Yisomim, we need to spend 30 days in that process. Of Hegdish, we need to spend 60 days. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Shuma Yisomim Shishim Yom, Shuma Hegdish Tishim Yom. That for Yisomim we spend 60 days, for Hegdish we spend 90 days. We spend even more time advertising and marketing the properties of Hegdish to get the best possible price. The Chachamim Omer, then we have a third sheet. The Chachamim say Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Shishim Yom. That we agree that for Hegdish it's only 60 days, so we agree with Rabbi Meir on that point, but we agree with Rabbi Yehuda in terms of that by Yisomim it should also be 60 days, that there's no difference between selling properties of Yisomim and selling properties of Hegdish. Amrav Chista Amravimi Halacha Shuma Yisomim Shishim Yom. The halacha is that for Yisomim we spend 60 days. Yosef Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin V'kamer L'Hashmaitas. Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin was saying this over. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin Shishim Ka'amrit or Shloshim Ka'amrit. So Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak said to Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, wait, what did you just say? You said 30 days or 60 days you spend advertising the land that you're trying to sell? So Amar Leh Shishim, he said, I said 60 days. Wait, the Yisomim or the Hegdish? Which land are you talking about now? You're talking about selling Yisomim stuff or selling Hegdish stuff that you spent 60 days? I'm late to Yisomim. He said, I'm talking about selling stuff that belongs to Yisomim that you spent 60 days on. Wait, Krebi Meir or Krebi Yehuda? Are you assuming like Rabbi Meir or are you assuming like Rabbi Yehuda? Which, by the way, sounds like a silly question, because it's obviously Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, you spend 60 days selling Yisomim's property. So it's strange that he would even ask the question. Even stranger is the fact that the answer is, Amar Leih, Rabbi Meir. Then I'm saying like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, who just said that you spend 30 days selling properties of Yisomim, is exactly who I'm going like when I say that you spend 60 days advertising and selling the property of Yisomim. So Vaha Rabbi Meir Shloshim Kamer. But that doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Meir said Shloshim. How can you say that when you're saying 60, you're going like Rabbi Meir? That's not what Rabbi Meir said. Amar Lei, so he says, Hachi Amar Rav Chista Me'avimi. This is what Rav Chista said, Me'avimi. Kulfi Tavi Bali Allah Da Hashmaita. I've been patched many times. I had to go through quite a beating in order to get to finally understand this teaching. This teaching was quite burdensome for me. Rabbeinu Gershom writes that Rabbi Avimi used to beat me up because I didn't understand it. He tried to jog my understanding a little bit by giving me a good zetz once in a while. Because of this, I couldn't fathom what he was talking about. The Rav Meir says 60 days, Rav Meir's the one that said 30 days. Rashi says a little different, that he was beaten up because he kept on forgetting it, that you're not supposed to forget your limit. He kept on telling him the answer. He kept on saying, what did you say again? You told me something at 30, 60, I don't remember why it fit. And he kept on smacking him because he kept on forgetting it. Either way, he said, I got a good beating on this, so I'm not gonna forget this so quickly. The answer is as follows: Bala hachruz ritzufim shloshim, b'sheni b'chamishi shishim. If you're gonna advertise this land consecutively, day after day after day, well then 30 days is enough, and you'll get the best possible price. But if you're not going to advertise it every single day, you're only going to spend Mondays and Thursdays advertising it, then you have to spend 60 days, meaning 2 months worth of time, worth of Mondays and Thursdays advertising the land. Wait a second, 2 months worth of Mondays and Thursdays equals a lot less than 30 days. So why is that okay? Even though 60 days is roughly 9 weeks, and 9 weeks of Mondays and Thursdays is 18 days. So when you figure it out, if you spend 60 days, only the Mondays and Thursdays, you're really only advertising and trying to sell it and marketing it actively for 18 days. So how does that end up equaling 30? Kivan de mashchemilsa shami inchi. Just the passage of time where it's still being advertised, where it's still on the market, that makes up for the extra, for the discrepancy between the two. The Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos and the Bar Tanura say that it's better to advertise Sheni B'Chamishi for 60 days than it is to do straight for Shloshim Yom. But the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says, no, it's the same thing, whichever one you choose. I mean, the Gemara doesn't sound like there's a preference of one over the other. It's just that you have two choices. Either you have to advertise for 30 days or 60 days of Mondays and Thursdays. What's interesting is in Otzar Gaonim, they quote from Rav Hai Gaon that you're not allowed to be machriz on Shabbos, even though you're selling Nichsei Yisabim. So it's for the sake of supporting orphans, which is generally a mitzvah. And cheshbonos shel mitzvah typically are mutter on Shabbos. To get the best price for the Yisomim, you're not allowed to advertise on Shabbos. Why not? How does he prove it? He says, no, you see Beferish in this Gemara. Because the Gemara assumes that when you're advertising for 60 days, you're only advertising on Mondays and Thursdays. Why would you advertise only on Mondays and Thursdays? Because those are the days that people get together, that everyone gets together to come to shul for Kriyas HaTorah. Those were the market days. Those are the days where people were together. So they were the most effective advertising days. You know what's an even more effective advertising day? Shabbos. That's when everybody's in shul. Everybody's together. No one is at work. No one's doing anything else. No one's at, everyone's there. Shabbos is the best time to advertise. Why didn't they advertise on Shabbos? Says Rav Hai Gaon, must be the Ratzasu, yeah? Right, Daber Dover. It's not exactly Daber Dover, that it's a Pasuk Nishayo, that you're not allowed to speak in Yanim of Chol on Shabbos. But the Chiddush is normally when, even if it's monetary related, but it's mitzvah related, it's money for a mitzvah, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah, the Gemara in Ksuba says, Mutal Chashim Shabbos. So Pshat is that I guess the difference in price of what you can get for the Yisomim, for the properties of the Yisomim, is not considered a great enough Tzaruch Mitzvah to advertise on Shabbos. That's, it must be something like that. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Avidam Ravasi, Ein this kakel l'nichse Yisomim, elam keves or ribas ocheles ben. The rule is, we can never sell properties of Yisomim unless there's something eating away at their funds. Meaning if there's ribas that's constantly eating away, there's an interest payment that keeps on getting bigger and bigger the longer they don't pay back the loan, so then we're allowed to sell their properties to pay back whatever loan it is so that they don't have to, their interest doesn't get out of control. But other than that, we're not allowed to sell Nichsei Yisomim, even if they own money. Rabbi Yochanan says, not only if there's ribbis, there's another situation where you could sell Nichsei Yisomim, either Ol Ishtar Sheyesh Bo Ribbis, either for a star where there's ribbis, Ol Ksubasisha Mishmazoni. Or if, let's say, the father owes a ksuba to his wife, and now the Yisomim have the estate, so long as the ksuba is not paid, the Yisomim have to give mizonos, they have to support the woman, they have to give her basic necessities. Once the ksuba is paid, they don't have to support her anymore. So the longer they go without paying this ksuba, the more money they're losing, because they have to keep paying the mizonos. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no way, then you're allowed to sell the properties of the Yisomim, because you don't want them to keep losing money. So why didn't Ravasi think of that? Ravasi, my time alomer l'ksubasisha. Why didn't Ravasi say that we're concerned about ksubasisha? Datakinu le'rabanan ma'isiyadeha. Because he's not worried about the Yisom losing money, because the Yisom get compensated for supporting the woman. Whatever little jobs she does, if she sews, if she knits, whatever she does, they get the profits from that. So they get compensated for the mizonos. So we're not worried about the mizonos eating away at their funds, at their estate. V'idach zimnin. But Rabbi Yochanan would respond, yeah, but the mizonos cost $1,000 a month, $1,000 a week, let's say, to support her and give her what she needs. Her Maisi Yadayim brings in $50 a week. It's not nearly enough to compensate them very often. And therefore, very often, some are going to lose out plenty if we don't sell the properties right away. So bottom line is, right here, we have Machlokas, Rav Asi, and Rabbi Yochanan. Under what circumstances may one sell Nichsei Yisomim? Is it only when there's ribbis eating away at the estate, or is it also when there's a ksubas isha eating away at the estate? The Gemara is going to try to bring three rayas, one way or the other. We're going to have a series of three rayas. Now, notice the Gemara has not yet explained why under normal circumstances we don't sell Nichsei Yisomim. The Gemara is going to say, that's the second half of the daf, of this daf is going to explain, why is it a Baal Chov comes to the shtar, says, look, it says your dad owed me $1,000. why don't we right away sell some of the property and pay him back? Why does he have to wait till they become bar mitzvah before he can collect his money? He's got a shtar, it's documented, he's got eidim, whatever. Why do we have to wait? That the Gemara is going to deal with on the bottom of this Amud and on Amud Beis. It's going to have three answers to that question. Right now we're just taking it for granted. We never sell properties in Yisomim unless they're actively losing money as time goes on. In Rav Asi's view, through ribis only. In Rabbi Yochanan's view, either through ribis or through the mezonos that they have to pay for a woman who didn't get her ksuba yet. Yeah.
What about a business
that's
clearly losing money?
Okay, so you have to go in, you have to figure out what the rules are, whether these are examples or the only exceptions. I don't know. So let's see, Raiz. Number one, Tanan. Our Mishnah said that to sell properties of Yisomim, 30 days. You need to spend 30 days in advertising. For Hegdish, 60 days. And we announce it morning and evening. So one second. Why are we selling the properties of these Yisomim? If they owe money to a guy, what, the guy's going to sit around waiting 30 days while we advertise? He's going to say, you owe me money, give me my money. I don't want to wait 30 days. So there can't be such a halach if he's a guy. El pshita balchov Yisrael. So it must be that who do they owe money to? A Jew. But wait a second. If you're only allowed to sell properties of Yisomim when there is ribis, how could there be a Jew who's collecting ribis? We're just going to be okay with that? We'll say, oh, no problem, we'll pay you back your ribis, we just have to give us 30 days to advertise? What are you talking about? How could we let that go on? It must be that there's no ribis. And we still sell the properties of Yisomim. So it must be the rule we said is wrong. That even when there's no ribis eating up the properties, you're still allowed to sell the properties of Yisomim. So says the Gemara, Bisham Rabbi Yochanan. So this works out very well according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, when we sell properties of Yisomim, not only when there's ribis, but also when there's ksubas isha. So muklub ksubas isha. The case might just be talking about where there's ksubas isha. El Rav Asi kasha, but Rav Asi says that the only case where you're ever going to sell properties is Yisomim is when there's ribis. What's the case in our Mishnah where we have 30 days to advertise it? It can't be with a guy because he would never give us 30 days. And it can't be with a Jew because there's no ribis. So Amalek Rav Asi would say, instead of Rav Asi answering for himself, what does he do? He points the finger at Rabbi Yochanan and he says, you think it's good for him? It's a problem for him too. You think the Mishnah works for Rabbi Yochanan? He says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what are we going to do? We want to benefit the Yisomim as much as possible. They're losing money every day to feed this woman. So we say, give us 30 days. So you're going to have to feed her for 30 extra days. It means you're going to be losing $1,000 a week for 30 extra days because we might be able to get you more money for the property given 30 days to sell it. Might, yes, might not. Sometimes the first offer is the best offer you ever get. So is that really beneficial for the Yisomim? That for the benefit of the Yisomim, we're going to say, give us 30 days to sell it. And during that entire time, they're going to have to keep on supporting this woman because maybe you'll get more money. Why is that okay? Says Gemara, Holokasha, B'tovas ksubas of Bezin. Must be dealing with a case where she went to Bezin and she claimed that she wanted her ksuba. She made a claim on her ksuba. And once she does that, could Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we assume like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Dom Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tovas ksubas of Bezin, Ein la mezonos. From that point forward, she loses mezonos. So during those 30 days, they will not have to support her. She doesn't get any rights to mezonos during those 30 days. So it's purely beneficial for the Yisomim that the Yisomim are going to, you're going to get more money for the property. So then why do we even have to sell the properties of the Yisomim? They're not losing any money anyway. She already lost her mezonos. The whole reason we're selling properties of the Yisomim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is because they keep losing money. They keep having to give her mezonos. They don't have to give her mezonos. She already was tovei ksuba and beis din. So given the zakinin la meikarim is zakinin la lebesof. Now we assume that since we were in the process of selling it, we were going to sell it, we don't stop selling it just because she was tovei her ksuba. We will then continue to sell the property, but now we could take our time in selling it and get the best price for it. But bottom line is, that whole idea only works according to Rabbi Yochanan, that our Mishnah might be talking about ksuba zisha. But mikal makom ravasi kasha, we still have a kasha on ravasi. How can our Mishnah be talking about spending 30 days selling the property of Yisomim, if according to ravasi, you're only allowed to sell the property of Yisomim Yomim when there's ribis. If there's a Goyish Balchov, he's not going to give you 30 days. If there's a Jewish Balchov, there shouldn't be ribis. So what's going on? It must be it's a Goyish Balchov, but he's willing to roll with it. He's willing to say, I'll follow the Jewish rules. Jewish rules, 30 days? Good, you can take 30 days. Well, if that's the case, if he's willing to follow the Jewish rules, well, there's a big Jewish rule that you don't take ribis. So says Gemara, within reason, he's willing to follow the Jewish rules. He's willing to follow the Jewish rule of getting the Yisomim the best price he can for their property. He's not willing to follow the Jewish rules to give up on his ribis. The ribis is a sold business. So that's Raya number one and rejection of Raya number one. So we tried to prove that Rabbi Yochanan is right, Rav Asi is wrong. We said, or Rav Asi might say that the Mishnah is talking about a guy who accepts some of our rules. Raya number two, Tashema. Whenever someone gets paid back from properties of Yisomim, they only get paid back from the worst of the properties. They don't get any good properties, they get the lowest level properties. So Mayaskinan, what's the case? If we're dealing with a Goyish Balchov, Mitzais, why would he listen? Why would he accept that? He'll say, no, you owe me Beninus or Idis or whatever. El Pshita B'Balchov Yisrael, must be that we're dealing with a Jewish Balchov. Well, wait a second. If it's a Jewish Balchov, how could there be ribis over here? So says Gemara, El Delo Achol Ribisa. Must be that we're dealing with a case where there was no ribis. And yet we're still selling Yisomim's properties. So again, it's a raya against Ravasi. Ravasi said the only time you sell Yisomim's properties is when there's ribis. But there can't be ribis over here, and we're still selling it. So Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's good, Muki Lubak Subasisha. He'll say it's Salmatic Subasisha. El Ravasi Kasha. But Ravasi is still stuck. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Ravasi, Rabbi Yochanan Minicha. Ravasi would say, what, you think according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's so good? Iksuba, my iria miyasmi, afilu mine dide nami b'ziburis. If we're talking about a ksuba, a woman only collects her ksuba from ziburis even when she's getting it from her husband. That's not a special din in Yisomim. A ksuba sish can only be collected from ziburis. So why would it say dafka if she's collecting from Yisomim she gets from the ziburis? So says Gemara, that doesn't bother us. Hello, Kasha. Rameir, hidamar ksuba sish benis. Maybe we're assuming, like Rav Meir holds, that normally Ksubasisha gets to collect from mid-level fields, and we're saying, but when she collects from Yisomim, she's got to collect from low-level fields. When we ask me, Biziburis, from Yisomim, she collects from the low-level fields, but we come back from the Ravasi Kasha. But we're still left with our Kasha and Ravasi. Again, the Brisa seems to say that you're selling properties of Yisomim when there's ribis eating away. I'm sorry, you're selling properties of Yisomim to Ziburis properties of Yisomim to pay back a Balchov. Ravasi said you're only allowed to sell properties of Yisomim when there's ribis eating away at it. But if we're dealing with the Jewish Balchov, there should be no ribis. And we're dealing with a Goyish Balchov, why would he ever accept the Ziburis? Why would he accept the low-level properties? Doesn't make any sense. So, Li'olam Balchov v'chavim, Shekibel Avlad, the Medina Yisrael. Sound familiar? Right, we're dealing with a non-Jewish Balchov who is willing to follow our rules of taking Ziburis property instead of taking Beninus. Ihachi Ribis Nami Lanishkal. Well, if that's the case, he wants to follow Jewish rules, then he shouldn't take Ribis either. So, Zmar Shekibel Lazu v'lo Kibel Av Lazu. He's willing to follow some of our rules. He wasn't willing to follow all of our rules, so he's willing to follow the rule that he can only get Ziburis. He was not willing to follow the rule that that he can't take ribis. Raya number three, Tashma. On the bottom of Chaf Alf Amid Beis, we said that the Brisa elaborated on how we announce the properties of Yisomim when we're selling them. We say, these Yisomim own a certain property. These are its borders. These are the qualities the property has. And we need to sell it in order to pay back a loan. Or in order to pay back a Ksumas Isha. We advertise specifically what it's for. And it gave two examples. To pay back a loan and to pay back a Ksumas Isha. So what do you see? You can sell properties of Yisomim, even for Ksubas Isha. So Bishlam, Balchov, Beinmar, Kedushanin. The Balchov case I understand very well. El Ksuba, we just answered how you can have a Balchov case. It's a guy, you accept it on for this. Now, El Ksubasa, Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, Nichal, Ravasi, Kasha. You're selling Yisomim's property for Ksuba. That only works according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ravasi says you wouldn't sell for Ksuba. So hachamayaskinon b'shechayiv k'shechayiv moda. Sometimes even for ksuba you'd sell if the father admitted before he died that he still owed the money and that he had never paid anything from it. Then even from nechsei sum you'd pay it. Hashad aslachi kulunamik k'shechayiv moda. Once we have that idea of chayiv moda, of the father admitting something right before he died, so then that could even work to answer the first two rayas. Because maybe the case of the Baal Chov was, we're selling Nichsei Yisomim because the father admitted right before he died. So therefore it was worth selling, we were able to sell the Nichsei Yisomim. Again, we still haven't discussed why in a normal case you're not allowed to sell Nichsei Yisomim. We're still going to get there. Three opinions. But we haven't gotten there yet. But we're assuming an exception to this rule is definitely when there's Ribbis. Another exception to this rule, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is when there's Ksubas Isha. A third exception to this rule the Gemara is now telling us is if the father was moda right before he died, then he still has the money. Chayiv moda. Maremar agvi ksubasa legrusha minichse diyasmi. Maremar collected a ksuba for a grusha from nechasim that belonged to Yisomim. Amrli Ravina la Amemar. So Ravina said to Amemar, Va'amar Rav Yudah Maravasi, Enes kalkul nechse yisomim kenayis ribis ochelz ben. I thought the rule is you're not allowed to collect unless there's ribis eating away at it. Rabbi Yochanan amar ol l'shtar sheyesh bar ribis ol l'ksubas yishim shemzonei. And Rabbi Yochanan said you're also allowed to sell for the sake of a ksuba, but va'afilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar el ba'almana de kamafs de mazone. Even Rabbi Yochanan only allowed you to sell Yisomim's properties for a ksuba when it was an almana's ksuba, where she deserves mazonos. She's entitled to mazonos. So since she's entitled to mazonos, the Yisomim are going to be losing money as long as you don't sell this property and pay up the chov. Aval grusha lo, but for a grusha we never heard of such a thing. So how could you maremar for a grusha sell the properties of Yisomim? No one holds you're allowed to sell the properties of Yisomim for a grusha. You're only allowed to do it for an almana. So Amar Lei, Hahid Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Chinam Masninan La. Rabbi Yochanan's din, Rabbi Yochanan had a special din that he said that for Ksubas Isha you could collect from Yisomim, that's only for Chain. That was for the sake of that men should be more desirable for women, that women will want to get married. So we sweeten the deal for women. It's a special takana d'rabanan. Normally you're not allowed to sell Yisomim's properties for this kind of thing, just to pay off a ksuba, but it will encourage a woman to want to get married if she knows that it will be easier to collect her ksuba. So we tell her, yeah, the rules are in your favor in collecting the ksuba, that after the husband dies, we'll be able to take it from the Yisomim. Amr of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Mereisha lo av mizda kikina l'nichse yasmi." I used to never sell Yisomim's properties to pay back ksuba. Kiven to shemana lahadar of huna chavrin mishmei derav yasmi da achli delo detu lizlu baser shivkayu. Once I heard though the statement of Rav Huna in the name of Rav that when Yisomim are enjoying properties that they don't really own because they really owe it to somebody else, they're going to follow in the footsteps of their father. And what that means when we say Yisomim follow in the footsteps of the father, Yasom by definition, their father is dead. So we're saying that it's a skula to die if they take these, if they enjoy these properties. Once I heard that, that scared me. Mikan ve'eluch mizdakakna. So at that point, I started selling nechasim of Yisomim to pay off their chavos. So says Gemara, now we finally get to the key question, the million-dollar question. Me'ikara mai taimalo. Why is it that the general assumption, up until this last line that we just read, the general assumption is you're not allowed to sell properties in the possession of the Yisomim to pay up chavos? Why not? A guy comes to the shtar and says, your dad owed me $1,000. Why can't we sell the Yisomim's properties that they got from their father to pay up those chavos? Three answers. Two of them appear down here. One of them is going to be on Amud Beis in the middle of the daf. Answer number one. Amar Rav Papa. Priyas Balchov mitzvah. V'yas milav b'nei mevin mitzvah ninhu. Paying back a chov is a mitzvah, and Yisomim are not chayv in mitzvahs. They're just little kids. So since they're not chayv in mitzvahs, they don't have to do this mitzvah either. They're not chayv in this mitzvah of paying up the chov. The Chikrei Lev has a very strong kashi. He says, if Priyas Bal Chov is a mitzvah, so what do we do with Yisomim about Lulav and Esrog, let's say? 10-year-old kid, he's a Yasom. So just doesn't take Lulav and Esrog. Mitzvah! So he's not B'nai Mev Mitzvah? No, Beis Din appoints an apotropos. They take some of the funds from the father's estate, they buy him a little bit. They take care of all the mitzvahs that he needs to do. So if Priyas Bal Chov is a mitzvah, the apotropos should be in charge of taking care of this mitzvah as well. You don't say, Lav B'nai Mev Mitzvah Ninhu. So the Chikrei Lev answers is a big difference. When we talk about Lulav and Esrog, if he doesn't do Lulav and Esrog now, when he gets older, he's not going to have this mitzvah back. He's going to lose this mitzvah forever. Right? He's not going to be able to do this mitzvah again. This Prius Balchov, the Balchov is not going anywhere. When this boy's a bar mitzvah, he'll then be able to pay up this loan. So it's not like if you don't do it now, it's lost forever. That's the beautiful hara of the Chikrei Lev. Now, what exactly is the mitzvah of Prius Balchov is also a major discussion in the Rishonim. Rashi Maseches Ksuvos writes that it's part of Hin Tzedek, the requirement of being honest. That ye hein shelachat tzedek v'lav shelachat tzedek. When you say yes, it should mean yes. When you say no, it should mean no. Meaning what you say has to be honest. You have to live up to your word. That's the mitzvah Prius Balchov. The Ramban and the Rashi from Maseches Mabasa write that it's based on the parsha of Mashkon in the Torah. The Torah says we take a Mashkon for a Chov. If you didn't have to pay up a Chov, why would we ever take a collateral? So it's like implicit that there must be others say, other Rishon, the Mordechai says, that it's based on Losigzal. That it's a violation of the sigzal. If someone lent you money, you don't pay them back, that's gzela. It's just pashut stealing. Some say it's a din of veheshavis gzela. The mitzvah is, the mitzvah sasei, to return that which is stolen. Which is amazing, because we normally think of heshavis gzela as, I did an avera by taking this money, so now I fix that by returning it. Over here, I didn't do an avera by taking this money, someone lent me the money. I took it beheter. And yet, still the mitzvah of heshavis gzela says to give it back. So it's not only when you do an Aveira that there's a mitzvah of Eishav as a Gzela, perhaps. Major discussion in the Rishonim. But anyway, that's why Rav Papa thinks he can't sell Nechsei Yisomim. It's not their mitzvah to do. They're not B'nei Mavim mitzvah yet. Rav Hunibri Devishuam, our second answer, Emer Tzoriyat V'sei. No, we're concerned that maybe the father gave this guy a bag full of money and he just didn't have a chance to get the shtar back from him yet. So we're afraid the father maybe paid it up already. That's why we don't want to take unfair advantage of these Yisomim. Who knows? Maybe it was paid. My B'nai, what's the nafkamina between these first two answers? What if the father said on his deathbed with his last breath, I still owe the money? So you don't have to worry that maybe he paid it up, but the Yisomim still have no requirement to do the mitzvah. Or the father was put in Cherim before he died, and he died in that Cherim. He was never taken out of that Cherim. So we assume that he hasn't yet paid it up, because if he had paid it up already, he would have said, I'll pay it up as soon as you lift the Cherim. He would have used that as a bargaining chip to lift the Cherim. If he died in the Cherim, there's no way he paid it up. So they sent the message that the halacha is that it's talking about where he died in the Secherim. Vilsuk Rav Hunibri Devshua. That we pass like Rav Hunibri Devshua, that the whole concern is that maybe sorry, I have to say, maybe he had paid it up already. Tanan, so now we're going to try to bring rayas, which one is correct. Two rayas that the Gemara is going to have. Before we even get to the third opinion, we have two rayas, whether the first opinion is correct or the second opinion is correct. Why do we not sell properties in Yisomim? Is it because they're not chayiv in mitzvahs? Or is it because we're afraid the father paid it off? So these rayas might sound familiar. Tanan, we have our Mishnah. We spend 30 days selling properties of Yisomim. So Mayaskinan, what is the case where we're selling properties of Yisomim? If it's a Goyish Balchov, well, would he ever listen to us anyway? El Pshita Balchov Yisrael. It must be that we're dealing with a Jewish Balchov. According to Rav Hunibri Yeshua, that's fine. We're dealing with the case, it's a Jewish Balchov, and we're allowed to sell the properties because the father admitted that he still owes the money. El Rav Papa Kasha, but according to Rav Papa, how could you ever sell these properties? You're not allowed to sell properties of Yisomim. There's no ribbis over here, presumably. You're not allowed to sell properties of Yisomim. How could you ever sell these properties if there's no chayiv modeh, if the father was never modeh? So Amalek Rav Papa would respond, maybe we're dealing with a ksuba case, and you're allowed to sell it for the chayin, for the sake of the takana that Rabban made to make it easier for men to get married. Or maybe we're dealing with a guy who's willing to follow Jewish rules, and therefore he's willing to wait the 30 days that it will take to advertise the land. But if the guy was willing to follow the Jewish rules, then he should follow the Jewish rule of not selling Yisomim's property, wait till they become bar mitzvah, and then get your money back. Why doesn't he follow that rule if he's following the Jewish rules? Answers the Gemara. What's the Gemara going to answer? Same as did before. He only follows some. He should keep love of the zoo. If he don't keep love of the zoo, he's willing to follow some of the rules, not willing to follow all the rules. Raya number two. Again, a raya, which shita is correct? Why is it that, typically speaking, we're not allowed to sell the say yisomim? Is it because they're ketanim and they don't have to do the mitzvah of paying back the chov? Or is it because we're afraid the father already paid it? Tashma, We said before that when we advertise the land, we explain exactly what we're advertising about, that it's to pay back a chov or a ksuba. So mayaskinan, what kind of chov are we talking about? If it's a guy, why would he listen? Must be that it's talking about a Jew, and yet we're selling properties of Yisomim. According to Rav Huna B'Rav Yehoshua, there are cases where you will sell properties of Yisomim, namely when the guy admitted before he died that he still owes the money. But according to Rav Papa, Bishlam Ksuba Misham China, Rav Papa, I can understand why you would sell Ksuba, but El Balchov Kasha. When would you ever sell properties of Yisomim to pay up a Balchov? According to Rav Papa, wouldn't you always say it's the Ketanim are not B'nai Mavid Mitzvah? They're not people who are able to do mitzvahs. So the Yalam B'Balchov Ovid Kochavim. Now we're dealing with a Goyish Balchov. Ogon Shekibel Av Ladin B'dinei Yisrael. But he was Mekabel to follow the Jewish rules. Ekibel Av Lintel Adagad. If he was Mekabel to accept the Jewish rules, why doesn't he wait until they get older? Shekibel Av Lizu V'lo Kibel Av Lizu. Same answer. That he accepted some of the rules, not all the rules. Now we finally get to the third Shita. Third sheet as to why it is that the rule is we don't sell Nechsei Yisamim. Rava Amar, Shita number 3. Mishum Shover. We're concerned that maybe the father paid it back. And there are two things you could do when you pay back a loan that had a shtar on it. You could either ask for the shtar back and rip it up, or you could ask for a receipt. And if you get a receipt, a shover, then if the guy ever tries to pull out the shtar again, you could say, look, I got a shover that counteracts that shtar so you can't collect again. Because what if you say, give me the shtar back, the guy says, I lost it. So are you just going to trust him that he lost it? He probably has it in death row. I'll take it out again next week and I'll collect the money again. So you demand a shover. So Rava says we're concerned that there was a shover. The father put it away in a very safe place, so safe that the Yisamim haven't found it yet. So we're afraid that there's a shover and they just don't know where it is. So I'm like, Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua, the Rava, Umichashil Neshover, Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua says to Rava, are we concerned that there's some shover somewhere that we don't know about? Vatnan, we have a mission that tells us, Hanifrash, Lo Befanav, Lo Tifra, Lo Beshvua, that if someone is getting paid, let's say a man sends a get to his wife, Bimedina Sayam, somewhere far away, she's very far away from where he is, and she's getting paid and he's not around, she has to take a Shvua in order to get paid her Ksuba money. Vamar of Acha Sarabira, and Rav Acha Sarabira, which is a pretty cool name. Rav Acha Sarabira said, "Maisel bal lefnei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha la Antuchia." We're going to see tomorrow. We have a name of an Amora, Moshe. You never find that anywhere. Almost the name is Moshe. You never find it in an Amora. It's Chav Gimel. It's really today's. So Rav Acha Sarabira said, "Maisel bal lefnei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha la Antuchia." The story came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha to Antuchia. Va'amr lo shanu el ksubas isha mishum chin av balchov lo. That's only by ksubas isha for chayin will allow her to collect when the guy is not around. But a balchov can never collect when the guy is not around. V'rabba amr Rav Nachman afilu balchov nami. And Rabba said, "In the name of Rav Nachman, even a balchov can collect when the person you're collecting from isn't around. You can go and confiscate his properties." But if you're always worried that maybe there's some shovers that exist somewhere, shouldn't we be concerned? How can you let the Balchov collect when the guy's not around? The guy whom you're collecting from is not around. Maybe he's got a shover somewhere. How can you just trust the fact that I'm holding a document that says you owe me the money? Maybe there's a shover somewhere. No, because over there we have to allow him to collect, because otherwise it will be a simple trick. If I don't ever want to pay back any of my debts, I'll borrow money and move. That's it. Keep borrowing money and moving, and they'll never be able to collect, because you can only collect bifanav. So they had to make a takana that we're not worried about a shover, that you're allowed to collect even when the guy's not around. They had to allow it, otherwise it would have been crazy. Amar Rava, Hilchsa Einis Kachal Nichsa Yisomim. The halacha is typically we don't sell properties of Yisomim, but Vamar Tnun is Kachin. But if the guy on his deathbed said, I owe this money, give it to so-and-so, then we do collect from Yisomim. Sadazu Umanazu Nis Kachin Vein Ramidin Apotropos. If the man before he dies actually identifies which field, which money he owes, you don't even need an apotropos to deal with it, because you know exactly what to give. You know, the father himself identified what to give. You don't even need to appoint a caretaker. But sadastam umanastam, if he just says, I owe a field or I owe money, and he doesn't identify exactly which field, niskakin umamidin apotropos, then you will collect from the yisomim, but you need to appoint an apotropos to take care of it. Amri naradai bekul niskakin umamidin apotropos, in all cases you actually appoint an apotropos Trappist and Yisal Nichsei Samim Levad Minimsei Sod Hashem Shalod Dachzuki Sadim Shakri Lamachaskinan. Unless you have witnesses saying that this field Pashut didn't belong to him, that the father stole this field, that it's not his. Because if you have witnesses that are saying it, then we could just confiscate the field without any apotropos, without anything, because we don't assume witnesses are lying. If there are witnesses that it's a stolen field, it's a stolen field. That's why we normally don't sell Nechsei Yisamim. Because Rav said normally we don't sell Nechsei Yisamim. And when we do sell Nechsei Yisamim, in rare cases where the father said on his deathbed that we should, we always appoint an apotropos. Because Nardari taught us, in all cases, we do sell Nechsei Yisamim, all cases that we do sell Nechsei Yisamim, we appoint an apotropos to deal with it, except for a case where it just turns out that the guy is pashur to Ganav, because if witnesses said that it's a stolen field, we're not going to assume that those witnesses are lying. So in that case, there's no need for an apotropos, we just confiscate the field. That is Daf Chav Beis. Okay. Thank you.